1949 was a pivotal year in the ministry of Reverend Ian R.K. Paisley. A young man, Bob Scott, was converted to Christ in March of that year. Shortly after his conversion, his mother, who had prayed for him, advised him, "There's a young man on fire for God down the Ravenhill Road, a young minister called Ian Paisley. You need to go there and hear him." Bob duly went, and later felt burdened to preach the gospel to what he considered would be a captive audience in Cornmarket in Belfast city centre. He made Ian Paisley aware of this burden that he had to preach, and he received this response: "You can't go without prayer. We'll pray about it." This became the signal for the start of weekly prayer meetings on a Saturday night in August 1949. By September, Ian Paisley sensed that God was at work, and he urged, "We need to pray through the Saturday night." Then on the first weekend in October, Mr. Paisley concentrated minds still further when he said, "We will have to pray on until God blesses, until God sends revival." A half night of prayer had been arranged for Friday, but it stretched through to Saturday and beyond. Dr. John Douglas recalls how, when he entered the church the next Monday evening, and he'd been present during some of these special times of prayer himself, Mr. Paisley and Bob Scott greeted him with joy, and they told him, "Revival has come. God has answered." The Lord did send the blessing of revival to this little congregation, and all who experienced those tremendous days will agree with the testimony of Dr. Douglas. There is no question that those prayer meetings changed everything. Mr. Bob Dunning highlighted the power of prayer that was evident in those days. He said special mention was made about the prayer meetings, especially the one on Friday night, which began at 10 o'clock and could stretch to 3 or 4 in the morning. What a joy and privilege it was to attend these blessed times when God heard and answered our prayers. A particular highlight for Reverend Ian Paisley during the Killyleagh Street Mission in Crossgarm in 1951, a mission that was blessed of God in the salvation of 94 precious souls, was the volume of prayer that was offered then. Speaking in Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church in 1997, Dr. Paisley reflected, "My memory of those meetings was not the packed house that we had overflowing each evening. The great spirit of blessing and the joy of leading precious souls to Christ, but it was of the continued sessions of prayer. One on Tuesday night and one on Friday night, when we went on past midnight and past 2 o'clock in earnest intercessions before God. But a crisis would arise at the end of the campaign, back to the church that put out the light of the gospel, or outside the camp to bear reproach for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the decision and choice that had to be made." That crisis of choice inspired another famous prayer meeting in the premises of Ravenhill Evangelical Mission Church, when on the lead-in to the 11th of March 1951, when the public announcement was made that a new church would be formed in Crossgarm, a day of prayer and fasting was held. A special day of prayer and fasting was held in Ravenhill, at the conclusion of which the way of God was plain as day, and the brethren knew that God had called them to tread where the saints had trod, outside the camp, and then by the way of the cross, to the upper lands of God. Baptist pastor Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who's famously remembered as asking a number of visitors to his church on one very hot July Sabbath, did they wish to see the heating system in the church? And then he led them around to a large room in which 700 people were interceding together before God for that service that was soon to begin in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. It's significant that on page 5 of the May to August Revivalist of 1951, Dr. Paisley reproduces part of Spurgeon's article on the prayer meeting. "I believe if we are ever to see greater things than we have done, we must have more real prayer. Oh, my brethren, how are your prayer meetings? It is a stale subject, perhaps you will say, but I do know some places where the prayer meetings are positively shocking. And still, is that the current speech? I shall not go out this evening. It is only a prayer meeting." It is in the meeting of the church for earnest, fervent, and believing prayer that the power of God is communicated to the church to make all its agencies strong, and if the prayer meeting be neglected, depend upon it, you have shorn away the locks of your strength, and when the Philistines are upon Samson, he will not know how to meet the foe. The longer I live, the more sure I am of it, that God must hear prayer. This is immortal in all generations, and I do not think there will be found any exceptions to this rule, that the power is in proportion to the prayer. The prayer meetings are not always an index of the church's strength, for some ministers are so in God's company that they alone bring down a great blessing. What might we not have if we would get up to the top of Carmel with our head between our knees and cry unto the living God and determine that we will never leave the place of prayer until the heavens pour forth their floods of rain and the earth is deluged with divine grace. Appropriate too is the reference to prayer in Reverend G. Campbell Morgan's account of the Welsh Revival. That's included on the back page of this same early revivalist, where he says there is nothing so important as the saving of men. And when the church says that and is ready, God will come. We need then to wait upon him in earnest, constant prayer. Oh, brothers, sisters, pray, pray, pray alone. Pray in secret, pray together, and pray out of a sense of the world's sin and sorrow. It is easy to be familiar with these things until they have lost their power to touch us. Oh, the sin and sorrow of the whole world. May God lay it upon our hearts as a burden. And out of that agony, let us begin to pray and go forward the moment he opens the door and indicates the way. Are we ready for God? It has been said of Ian Paisley by his first assistant minister, Dr. Alan Cairns, he was a man who could pray as few men could pray. And also by a long-time friend and fellow contender for the faith, Dr. Brian Green of London, they call him the big man. Thank God he is big enough that when he is on his knees, he touches heaven. And this is evidently what we need today, to feel the burden, to send up the intercessions, to catch the flame. If we would have our souls refreshed with rain that falls from heaven, we must pray through. Like all the rest, then showers will be given. Brethren and sisters, let us pray, 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 and touch heaven for this earth.